Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. I am talking to Martin Piero, who is publisher of Cosmic Times, and he's here to talk to us about several of the books that Cosmic Times has available for our purchasing. Right now, they're available, at least the first one that we're going to talk about is available through DCBS. Others will be available through DCBS in future, hopefully through Diamond, and also from Martin at the Cosmic Times booth at MegaCon coming up in February. Thanks for joining me, Martin.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. Before we get started, I do want to say that the guys at DCBS have been great and allowing independent publishers like myself through their First Light program to get their books out there when we're having trouble getting into Diamond.
Yeah, I think that's a great venue. And, you know, to me, it really makes it more likely that, you know, because someone sells something on their website, and I can completely appreciate the economies of it, you know, but if I'm going to buy a $3 comic and I have to pay another $3 for shipping, it becomes a $6 comic, which is kind of steep, you know, for a single comic. But if, you know, we can get it through DCBS, then it just gets in with my the rest of my monthly order, and I'm buying the comic, and I'm not having to pay the extra special shipping charge for just one book. Plus, you've got a great deal on that first issue of Sold on the January list. Why don't you tell everybody how much the first issue of Sold will set them back?
Yes, sir. Sold actually is a $3.50 comic. It's a full-size comic, 24 pages of story, full color, and we're offering it to DCBS this month. It's a pre-order for 50 cents.
Which is a great deal. So I would urge everyone, well, we're going to talk about the book, but, you know, if it sounds good to you, hey, 50 cents, you know, get that on your DCBS order form. If you're listening to this after you send in your form, just shoot an email to them over at customer service at DCBS and tell them to add it to your order. They will happily add books to your order from January, even after the deadline. I've done it myself. So let's start talking about Sold. S-O-U-L-E-D, okay. As opposed to Sold, like S-O-L-D. This is Sold.
Yes. The key to the title actually lies in the story itself. The book was pitched to me by a fellow named Christopher Faulkner. He's the writer of the series. I edited the scripts with him, but for the most part, it's his vision of the story. And it deals with corporate greed on an intergalactic scale, in that ultimately you find out, I don't reveal too much of the story, but just how far people would go to make a buck and how, you know, would they sell their own souls to do it. And it doesn't really sound like a science fiction story when I say it like that, but it actually is. It's a sci-fi story set in the distant future where corporate greed, as I said, has kind of taken hold of the galaxy. Everything's been privatized, and follows the crew of the space freighter Another Man's Trash. They're out making a cargo delivery, and they stumble onto a secret on the edge of the galaxy that kind of unfolds throughout the 5 issues.
Yeah, and I read the first issue. Martin was kind enough to provide me with a PDF of it. It's a fun story. I'm looking forward to. I'm definitely gonna get myself a hard copy of it so I can see it in its full glory, and I'll follow along the rest of the series. You know, it's a 5 issue series, so I want to see where the story goes from there.
Yeah, I find that in Chris's script, each issue takes a different turn. So where you think the story is going one direction in the first issue, by the end of the second issue, it's made another turn. By the end of the third issue, it makes another turn and ultimately heads toward the conclusion, which, of course, I don't want to spoil. But it's a very interesting, thought-provoking story he's put together there.
Let's talk about the protagonist in the first issue is the young girl. Is she going to be featured throughout the story?
Yes, yeah, she's kind of the point of view character. Her name's Adana. She's from a wealthy family, and she's been kind of dumped on this space freighter as a mode of transportation. So she kind of gets caught up in the story and the cargo that the crew's carrying. And she, like I say, she kind of becomes the Kitty Pryde character of our story, where she's the point of view of the audience, and she gets to see the story unfold around her. And so that's pretty much the gist of her character in the story.
And I think it's good also that we, you know, I like, you know, John and I, if anyone listens to the show, know that usually pretty positive on stories that have strong female leads. And, you know, like, I think this fits the bill. You know, it's like when we read Spider-Girl from Marvel, you know, having the strong female lead character, young girl. And just, you know, that's a positive role you don't see as much of in comics, where you don't have the female character that's just kind of cheesecake, you know, where they actually are strong in their own right and, you know, have a good character arc. And I think that's the case here with Sold.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that. The when designing the character, that was something we took in consideration. Like, we didn't want to make her too, well endowed. We wanted to keep her young and just normal looking like a normal person, as opposed to a over the top comic book character, as you often see, you know, females portrayed in comics.
Yeah, I think that was a great decision, and I think it's a nice all ages book too. You know, I didn't see anything in this issue that you couldn't give a teenager to read. I mean, there's some thought-provoking stuff in here, but it's not something that is, you know, quote-unquote mature audiences.
Well, yeah, I'm a child of the 80s comics, where, you know, anybody could read them, and that's kind of what I try to do with Cosmic Times. I try to put out, you know, books that appeal to as many people as possible. Because, again, like, when I was reading comics coming up, you know, they were fine for me when I was 12, 13. And now going back to them in my 30s, they're still as good as they were then. So they hold up across generations reading the books, as opposed to just targeting, you know, 24-year-old men.
Right, which is a good thing. I was once a 24-year-old man, and, you know, it's like my tastes have changed. But, you know, it's good that you have something that has a wider appeal, and you're shooting for a little higher bar than just you know, shooting for the lowest common denominator.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now let's switch gears and talk about Decisions, which is another book that's out that you are actually writing. This one has kind of a almost like a little Twilight Zone with some very strong moral to it, I guess. And you were describing it as what was your Quantum Leap meets Saved by an Angel?
No, actually, Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven, okay.
So, I don't try to be preachy with it. I know it kind of maybe comes across a little bit, but I don't try to, you know, be preachy or try to say, you know, this is my view. I try to present multiple views with the book. But really, I'm just trying to tell stories that are kind of personal to me. In the first issue, it's two stories. One of them is about a girl who's going to make a decision which will affect the rest of her life, and the different outcomes that she goes through. I've known people who've gone through those same outcomes, and to be honest with you, if they could go back in time and make the decision not to go down that path, they would have. And as far as the second story, I'm in my late 30s now, and I've been divorced, and it's a rough battle. And the character in the second story, he's dealing with a divorce, and again, it was kind of me spilling my guts about what I went through that moment right after the divorce was finalized. Obviously, I didn't make the decision he made, but it's a rough time, and I was just trying to tell that story. So I guess this is my my vanity piece almost, where I'm just telling stories that I really want to tell. And Decisions Issue 1 has been out for a while, and it's actually found an audience. So I guess there are a few people who want to hear what I have to say about it. But through that book, though, I met a good friend who has become pretty much the house artist for Cosmic Times, and that's Zach Bassett. And he provided the art for the book, and I got to meet his lovely wife. She was nice enough to provide the letters for the book as well.
I liked the second issue. I mean, you sent me the PDFs of the first two issues. I read both of them. The second issue, you really hit, you know, again, Decisions. So you're hitting these stories that are really key turning point decisions in a person's life, or kind of going back. There's a little bit of a, I don't know how you want to describe it, but, you know, you have these people that kind of let somebody that are kind of outside the normal, you know, that right. kind of give somebody an insight into the decision process and help them make their own choice. They're not really trying to force the choice or anything, but they're kind of helping the people look at it in different ways. And I liked how the second story went, the second issue rather, went, because you know, you go down the path of how the different decisions can turn out, and it ended in a way, without spoiling it, I liked, because it wasn't the decision that one might have expected it to,
right.
to that, turn out
that's
as.
That's something, I guess, like you mentioned, the Twilight Zone, you know, the kind of unexpected element that I was trying to bring to the stories. But again, the unexpected element I do try to explain off at the end of the issue. But I agree. We all make decisions in our life, and sometimes we make the right decisions, sometimes we make the wrong decisions. And I just wanted to present, you know, those moments in time to the reader, if that makes sense. Maybe it doesn't.
No, absolutely. So I think this is a great, great series for people who like more of the kind of human drama kind of things. It's not, I don't think you're going to see anybody, you know, charging around, you know, in tights. You're not going to see any, you know, giant gun battles or, you know, things like this. You know, it's more about somebody making a decision point in their life. So it's more, I would call it more of a introspective drama kind of a comic. And, you know, there are comics like that out there. And if you enjoy this kind of story, check out Decisions.
Thank you. Yeah. It's kind of like a slice of life comic with a twist, you know.
Now let's talk about the third one that you sent out. This one's called From Blood. What's the story here?
This book followed an interesting path with me. I worked with Zach Bassett. Like I said, he's kind of the Cosmic Times artist on Decisions, and then later when Soul presented itself, I immediately thought of him as the artist for the book, and he brought with him an inker, James Wynot. And while we were at MegaCon last year with the release of Soul, James and I were talking, James Wynot, and he was talking about the story that he and Zach were working on. And the way he pitched it to me, James is a very excitable guy. He's a younger guy, and he's very excitable. And he described the story as this kind of violent, over-the-top action story with just these crazy scenes of, like, ultimate violence and whatnot. And like I said, that's not really the way I want to take Cosmic Time. So he was pitching me the story I passed on at the time. Then recently, you know, as I'm trying to make my plan for 2012 and what books I'm going to be putting out, Zach said I really should read the script for From Blood. And I told him, I don't think so. I don't want to do a violent book. Per Zach's urging, I read the book. And it turns out there's a lot more to James' story than he was originally describing to me. Like I said, James is an excitable guy. He was focusing on what made him excited in the story, but there was more to the story. It had a heart. It had a psychological twist to it. And it turns out it really wasn't as violent as James was describing. And looking at the book and the art, there was one scene we had to change because I thought it was a little over the top. But outside of that, the story follows a mental patient who's locked up in a facility. And there's this big mystery about who he is. He's a John Doe. No one really understands who he is. And he's prone to these violent rages. And the story just kind of follows discovering who this character is, his patient 27. And it deals with his a new therapist who just started at the hospital, Dr. Reese. And the two of them kind of form a bond. But then the story kind of opens up to be more of an action story at the end, without giving too much away. There's obviously a large mystery surrounding patient 27 and why he was put in the hospital and what causes him to have these rages. And that's kind of what really attracted me to the story, the mystery of the story. And, you know, as each page turns, you learn a little bit more about the character. And that's kind of the gist of the story. It's a two-part miniseries. The first issue is going to be premiering at MegaCon, which is February 17th in Orlando. It's written by James and Zach with a little assist from me, and the art is by Zach and James. It's pretty much their project that they brought to me. Like I said, the first issue is going to debut at MegaCon. It's going to have a special limited edition cover by a fellow named Larry Watts, who's a young artist who's just kind of, whose career is just about to take off. And I'm really proud of the book. I'm happy to be putting it out, and I'm happy for James and Zach to finally get to tell their story.
I think it, you know, I you sent me it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I kind of flipped through it, and you know, as you're describing it, I'm gonna get in there and start reading this one. So is this another one that you'll be offering through DCBS so DCBS customers will have a chance to get it.
Exactly. We have worked out a plan with DCBS, like a release schedule. At least for the first few months of the year, I'm going to be releasing one book a month through DCBS, and hopefully, you know, make, by the end of the year, we'll be putting out two a month. And like I said, DCBS has been nothing but kind and generous to me, allowing me to do that.
And finally, we've got a series that you've got completed that's soon to be available in trade paperback form at MegaCon, Arthur, the Legend Continues. Let's talk about that one.
Yes, sir. Well, Arthur started off, that's actually the first book I did. Actually put that first issue back out way back at MegaCon in 2009. If you can't tell, I'm from Florida, so MegaCon is my home con. It started off as an entirely different series. I was writing a 6-issue miniseries with a friend of mine. We had been working on it for like 2 years, and as I was getting closer to starting to put the book together, getting an art team, I was talking to a lot of industry professionals, a lot of people getting advice, and the advice I got was do not start self-publishing with a miniseries because no one's going to expect you to finish it. You should do like a single issue, one and done story as your first offering. So I went to my friend. He didn't like the idea, so we went our separate ways. He took his story, which he's since published. It's called Sleep Runners. It's a great book if you want to check it out. And then that left me with having to write something. And my career actually stems from film and television. And years ago, a girlfriend that I had at the time, who later became my ex-wife, it all goes back to decisions, who later became my ex-wife, she and I wrote a television pitch. And the high concept of the pitch was King Arthur meets Mad Max. And that King Arthur would return to this post-apocalyptic future, just be this big, crazy action-adventure story. And nothing ever came of it, but I had this in my back pocket. So I went back to that original concept. I tweaked it, worked on it, and managed to squeeze it into a 48-page first issue. Again, I was just starting out at the time. I found a fellow in Uruguay to draw it, released it, again, a 48-page book at MegaCon. And it became quite popular in the local comic scene, and I went ahead and continued the story into a couple more issues. Like I said, that first issue was kind of a one-and-done, but I left, obviously, open for more stories to be told. And so we put together, at this MegaCon, we're releasing a trade paperback of all the stories we have out thus far. We're going to have an exclusive 25-copy run just for MegaCon, and then we'll have a different cover when we offer it through DCBS and their sister site, InStock Trades, of course. But again, the story follows King Arthur. He returns to England after the apocalypse. England's a desolate, it's not a wasteland like you expect in a typical, like a Mad Max concept, in that it isn't this desert wasteland. It's years after the apocalypse and things have come back. England's this grown over almost. Yeah, the old cities, and they've kind of come grown over. So it still kind of has the feel of, you know, the Arthurian England. And you have, it finds a village that's kind of made up out of people who have survived the apocalypse. They've etched out a way of life. And years ago, they found a stone with a sword sticking out of it. And this religious order is kind of formed around the sword, waiting for the day that King Arthur would return. And the story finds the village, it's been years now, they've kind of started to lose their faith in the possibility of King Arthur returning. The village is under siege, it's a bad situation, and, you know, obviously the book's called Arthur Legend Continues. So he does return, pulls Excalibur once again from the stone, and then that's where our story goes forward from there, as Arthur has to acclimate himself to a new environment, this post-apocalyptic England, and the people have to kind of understand that who King Arthur is. It's this meshing of these two, of Arthur coming from the past and this future society and dealing with the dangers that surround them and whatnot.
Now, some of the older books, I mean, chronologically, let's say, because the latest one that you've produced is Sold, right?
Well, actually, we're producing issue 2 of Decisions is coming out at MegaCon. Issue 2 of Sold is coming out at MegaCon, and From Blood issue 1 are coming out at MegaCon. As far as production goes, issue 2 of Sold was the last book we produced.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, you know, in the order of which, you know, because Sold is color. What went into your decision? Because From Blood and Decisions are both black and white books. Sold is color. What kind of thought process as a publisher do you go through on, you know, is this going to be black and white? Is this going to be color? You know, because that's certainly, it's going to have a different eye appeal to people. And, you know, how do you, like, kind of hold the price points on the different things, you know, because you got, like, the issue 2 of Sold is $3.99. Whereas issue two of Decisions is $3.50, so it's like 49 cents more. You know, let's call it 50 cents more. You know, I would certainly pay 50 cents more for color myself. I mean, I like the dimension that color adds to the story and sold.
Well, the price point of our books is actually was probably one of the hardest decisions I had to make. And when we launched Arthur issue one, which was 48 pages, and we put a $3.50 price tag on it, we didn't make a ton of money on it because obviously printing on a 48 page book doing a short run is fairly high. But at the time, that was at the time both Marvel and DC had announced they were going to $2.99, which of course DC for $3.99. Which of course DC later recanted and decided to hold the line at $2.99. But that was right when the $3.99 prices were coming into effect. So I said, I can't go $3.99 because I don't have a color book. So I chose the $3.50 price point. And so we did our first three issues of Arthur in black and white, and then we did our first issue of Decisions in black and white. And when it came to Soul, we thought we were ready to make the transition into color. Because A, we were approaching Diamond. You know, we're like I think I've mentioned, we're going back and forth with Diamond, trying to get our books into the previous catalog, and we knew we had a better chance with the color book. So we decided Sold would be our color offering. So we did Sold in full color. Now doing a short print run, I'm pulling the curtain back a little bit on independent press. Doing a short print run in color is very expensive. It's you really can't charge less than $4 for a book doing a short print run in color, because the printing is almost $3 as it is. So when we did Sold, we thought we were going to get the Diamond, so we ordered 2,000 copies to get the price down. So that's when we were able to keep the price at $3.50 for Sold, even though it's in color for the first issue. But of course we're not in Diamond yet, and I'm sitting on 1,500 copies of Sold in my dining room right now, which my wife of course thinks that's the greatest thing ever. You can imagine for a month my house smelled like paper. So when we with issue two of Sultans, we're not in previews yet. We're doing it as a short print run, and the only way I could the lowest price point I could really afford to put the book out at was $3.99 with just the cost of printing a full color book. But I don't want to back off of color now from Sold, because I've already started the process. So Sold will be a 5-issue full color miniseries. From Blood, the decision to go back to black and white for From Blood as opposed to going into color, which again is it's not as violent as it was originally pitched, but there is some scenes of blood, and I'm sure that will look better with the red ink in the book. But we decided to go black and white because it is a 32-page book, and again, printing a 32-page book in color, we would have to, the cover price would be insane. I just didn't want to seem like I was gouging customers. I wanted to make the books as affordable as possible. So that's why though it is 32 pages, we kept the price at $3.50 for From Blood. So it's a whole process in making these decisions. Our next project will be full color. And then we might do a black and white project as well. But right as our plans stand right now, the next series we're going to launch will be a color series.
I mean, I don't personally mind paying. This is me, right? I don't know how many people have this opinion, but I can appreciate the fact that it's going to cost an independent company or a smaller company a lot more to print a comic book than Marvel. It's printing. Well, maybe not even that many copies on some books, but, 10, 20, 50,000 copies, and I think they're not getting prices by the issue, but it's just, they print so many copies overall that, their printing is vastly cheaper, so
right.
I don't mind paying more for an independent book, I don't want to pay, $8 for a 30-page, kind of 20-page comic. But, I think you're making a good effort there because, your basic books are like 24 pages instead of the standard 20 that's in a Marvel or DC book. Like Marvel raised the price to $3.99 and they didn't even give you any extra pages. A lot of the Marvel books are creeping back to the same 20 pages that are in a DC book. They say, oh, well, sometimes we give you more, and that's true, but by and large, you're not getting that many pages in a Marvel book, or a DC book. They put $3.99 on a book when it's 30 pages, so, you're given a decent-sized package. I don't think I hold that again. I don't hold that against an independent publisher. Let's put it that way, because I like seeing the different kinds of stories. I mean, And what I appreciate about the books that I've read from you is that they are not comics that I would ever see coming out from Marvel or DC. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, they tell a certain kind of story. And there are different kinds of stories out there to be told. You know, I think that sometimes in an independent, you know, try to make the standard, you know, cape kind of superhero kind of book, then they're directly competing with those big publishers. But when you're telling the kinds of stories that you're telling here, you know, you're telling a story that if I want to read this kind of story, I'm going to go and read your book, because I'm not going to find this kind of story somewhere else.
Right. Well, don't get me wrong. I love Marvel and DC books as well. You'll never find a bigger fan of the new 52 than me. Don't ever think that I have anything against those kind of stories. I love those kind of stories. But you're right. Trying to tell a story similar to what Marvel and DC would tell, when obviously they kind of have the corner on that market, they tell those stories better than anybody else. I wouldn't even begin to try to do a superhero comic at this point. But like you mentioned, I do try to diversify my line. Each book I put out, I try to make sure it's quite a bit different than the other book. So I'm not offering, you know, you don't come to my table and every book's just like, you know, they're all very similar. I try to make them as different as possible to try to appeal to as many people as possible.
Right, and I think that's a great thing. You know, it's just, and again, you know, I've been pulling back on Marvel comics myself, but I don't have anything intrinsically against Marvel comics. You know, it just... read what you like. You know, if you like a certain kind of book, read what you enjoy, you know,
right.
And I think I'm getting more to a point in my taste that I like reading different kinds. I mean, I like still reading. I read a bunch of superhero books too, but I still like to get these different kinds of books. It's kind of like a good palate cleanser. You read like 20 superhero books and it's like, you know what? I want to read a, you know, kind of sci-fi drama kind of thing that's got, you know, a little bit of a, you know, plot and some different kind of stuff going on that I'm not going to get everywhere, you know. And the same thing, like when I'm flipping through From Blood and hearing you talk about it, I, you know, that's kind of an interesting story. I don't know, maybe Vertigo you'd see a book like that, but, you know, certainly not in the main universe, but that's fine, you know. I love reading a Batman comic, but, you know, that's telling you a certain kind of story. Here we're getting a different kind of story.
There you go.
Another thing I'd like to point out to people listening, especially people who are going to MegaCon, you know, it's a great opportunity. You know, MegaCon, obviously stop by at the Cosmic Times booth and check out a lot of the books that they're debuting there. You're going to have some special covers that are available only at MegaCon. They're different from the ones that we'll be ordering through DCBS for those of us who are not able to make it out to Florida. But any con that you go to, I love going out to the small press area and the artist alley area, you know, whichever you have. And sometimes there's both at a con, and just looking at the wide variety of different books and different creative visions that people are putting out. You know, it's just, it does me good to, you know, just see the enthusiasm, especially when someone's telling you about, you know, their book and, you know, why they wanted to create this. And I really think that supporting that is a good thing. I mean, you don't want to buy something that's not appealing to you. You know, I mean, I've had people tell me very, you know, excitedly about, you know, their story about, you know, whatever, you know, and it's something that's like, that doesn't sound interesting to me at all. And I politely, you know, listen to them a little bit and then go on my way. But, you know, a lot of times I've found some really great books when I listen to that, and it's, you know, that sounds pretty cool. Let me have a look. And I've bought a number of books. You know, I try to come away from any convention that I go to with at least two or three of those small press kind of things that are particularly books that I'm not going to find on the shop at every comic shop, because this is my opportunity to get exposed to this book.
I agree 100%. And you taking Cosmic Times out of the equation, just as a comic fan myself, going down and talking to the independent publishers and talking to even the guys in Artist Alley who are putting out little ash can books, you can talk to them, they can tell you where they came up with their story, why the story is the way it is. You know, if you go to a guy at Marvel or DC, you know, why are the X-Men and Avengers teaming up? Because the editor told me to. You know, that's kind of, you know, what's going on. So it's nothing against the guys, the stories they come up with at Marvel or DC, but when you go to the independent guys, it's their story. They're telling you the story they want to tell. the way they want to tell it. And that's another rare thing that our industry has, the comic book industry has, but a lot of other industries don't. I mean, maybe independent film, you can get that as well. But with the comic industry, you have a story you want to tell, you put it on paper and it's told, you know. There's no in-between guy. And the independent guys, they're sometimes they can be a little rough, like you said, because they don't have an editor and they don't have, making sure that their books appeal to people. But again, that could be the appeal, too, of the independent publisher, finding that book that appeals to him and you only. That you'll find, no matter what you're looking for, the odds are you're going to find something that will appeal to you. If you just take a few minutes and, step out of the William Shatner autograph line and head over to the independent press section and just see what's over there. Actually, that kind of is what got me started on this whole path. I was at MegaCon, I want to say 2005, maybe, and Christian Baranek, who was putting out Dracula versus King Arthur at the time, held a panel, him and Raven Gregory, who at the time was doing a little book called The Gift, and now he's a big deal at Zenoscope. And they set me kind of on this path by just not because of their panel, because in their panel they made it clear you're not going to get rich doing this, but their enthusiasm for the work is what really motivated me to kind of break away from what I was doing and get back involved in the comic book industry.
Yeah. Now I'm just looking at the DCBS spreadsheet that I downloaded for January, and I'm not seeing sold in there. So if people who are ordering off of the spreadsheet, you might not find it in the spreadsheet, but I did find it on the website. If you go in there on the DCBS site and just go in the other publishers and look for Cosmic Times. Also, you can find it by just looking at the specials, because, since it is a special and it's priced for 50 cents, you can find it quite easily that way, too.
Yeah, probably not on your spreadsheet. I think it went up like the day after DCBS posted this month's books, because they have to put it in manually because it's not part of the previews lot. So that might be how it didn't hit your spreadsheet. So, but it is there. It's going to be there all month for pre-order, and I hope everybody heads over and just 50 cents.
Go in on the website, because even after you upload your spreadsheet, it's available for editing, so you can add a book to it. So if you open your order for editing after you've uploaded your spreadsheet, just go over to specials, sort by price in ascending order, and it's going to be the very first book. Very simple to add.
Or head over to my website, cosmictimes.net. There's about 46 different places you can click on it to link to the DCB site, DCBS site, because I'm really trying to get behind this and really want to push it and make 2012 my year. So.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining me, Martin. I encourage everyone to pick up that issue of Sold and let us know what you think about it on the forum after it comes out, and follow Cosmic Times at cons on their website and through DCBS, and then hopefully we'll see your books in previews so that they can get exposure to a wider audience. And that's really the goal that we're looking for with previews, right? It's just having the opportunity to see the books available in as many places as possible.
Exactly. Find some readers for them, yes.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.